You're listening to Fox Sports Radio. Radio. This is Straight Out of Vegas. With the voice of Vegas, your host, RJ Bell. The pregame show America has always wanted. I doubt the future. I doubt the future. From the Vegas Strip, here's RJ Bell.
You heard it. I'm RJ live coast to coast, 6 o'clock Eastern, 3 o'clock here in Vegas. An action packed hour this Thursday for you. Thursday night football, Vegas style preview, no doubt. Also, though, the trends of the week. These are the NFL mostly, if not totally, trends that if you're betting these games without knowing these trends, you're making a mistake. Also, though, inside information potentially with the Heisman? I actually think so. And I don't talk about inside info very much. We're going to talk about that first in studio with me, the pros who know, NFL expert Steve Fezzik. Brad Powers has all the college knowledge. Sports bettors listen for the money. Sports fans listen to know more than their buddies. Here's my personal promise. We will deliver the Vegas truth to you. But you can't have pros without Joes. He is Jonas Knox.
Thanks, RJ. Always good to be here as we come to you live from the Geico Fox Sports Radio Studios, where 15 minutes could save you 15% or more on car insurance. Visit geico.com for a free rate quote. And we start in college football, where the Heisman Trophy will be awarded this Saturday night. The three finalists are Kyler Murray of Oklahoma, Tua Tagovailoa of Alabama, and Dwayne Haskins from Ohio State. But RJ, some early indicators may have already tipped us off as to who will win.
Yeah, this to me is one of the more shocking things I've seen when it comes to a big betting market. And Brad, the Heisman betting, just compared to even 5 years ago, way, way up.
Yeah, no question about it. I mean, it starts in the summer as far as the odds being released. A lot of guys available to choose from. The pool list to bet on is big. And plus, I would say the week in and week out updates on the Heisman's what I've really seen change in the last couple of years. Constant fluctuation from week to week. I mean, you got Kenny Hill from Texas A&M that's the Heisman favorite after week three. That's something you never saw 10, 15 years ago.
Yeah, and it is different because back in the day, it was a multiple year award that you had to play really well 1 year to get on the magazine cover the next. And if you weren't on the magazine cover, you probably weren't going to get enough attention. Today, you can become famous, good or bad, sports or other things, very, very quickly. This year, though, more than any other, was a one-person race for a long, long time. And it was almost like everyone shrugging, saying, oh, yeah, this other guy's pretty good, but Tua's got it locked up. So as recently as 3 weeks ago, if I wanted to say Tua Heisman, how much did I have to bet to win $100?
You had to bet $1,000, RJ.
$1,000 to win $100.
Yes.
All right. So I like to think about it Subway sandwiches. So let me think about this now. $50 would have got me a foot long.
Yep.
That did not seem like a good deal.
No.
Now, just a couple of days ago, there was a big, big change.
Yeah, and Kyler Murray, not Tua Tagovailoa, was actually the favorite. Kyler Murray, quarterback Oklahoma, -160, had to bet $160 to win 100.
So I would, with Tua, I could have got like, you know, +130, +1. So think about that. 3 weeks ago, $10 wins you $1, and then a couple weeks later, $10 wins you like 14.
Mm-hmm.
So you were getting paid 14 times as much on your Tua bet. And right here on Straight Out of Vegas, we were kind of like befuddled because what had happened in the last few weeks? Hey, Murray kept playing well, and Tua played a little bit below, but not much more than a little, his season-long standard. Wouldn't you agree?
Yeah, for the most part, other than the SEC championship game was his worst game, but still, Tua played well in those other games.
Yeah, I mean, no doubt. And again, his worst, how bad was he?
It was pretty bad, RJ.
Compared to what?
Compared to historically great.
Yeah, so, okay, yeah. Fair enough. Now, today, big news that speaks to, it's kind of a leading indicator with the Heisman.
So the Associated Press, we love the Associated Press, pregame.com, the official odds provider of the AP, came out with their college football player of the year today. Kyler Murray got a significant number of first place votes. Incredible. Three times as many as Tua. No player ever, RJ, has ever had this many first place votes and not won the Heisman Trophy.
So Murray has how many first place votes?
39.
And no one that's ever had that many didn't win the Heisman.
Nope.
So Jonas, listen, you love conspiracy theories. I'm not judging you. I want to be straight, right? But you love them.
Look, I mean, there's when you can engage in the flat earth, round earth conversation, it's kind of fun over a few drinks. I mean, why not?
You know, you ever notice with Jonas, drinks are involved in a lot of his lot of things. It's a social lubricant.
Is this not straight out of Vegas or what? I mean, come on.
Well, remember, if you want to win, you got to be sober, right? I wonder, Fez, how many beers could you have? But no conspiracy. We'll take that down and say, how many beers could you have and still win at 2-5 Hold'em? So 2-5 Hold'em. You buy in for $500. Just give you an idea. It's a no-limit game, probably a $500 buy-in, all right? If you had 7 beers and then you played an hour after your 7th beer, meaning you drink your 7th and you have to sit down for 1 hour, are you going to be positive EV?
I'm going to be 0 because I'm going to be in the bathroom because I won't be able to handle this.
That's Steve Fezzik. I'm RJ Vaux, straight out of Vegas. All right, so back to your conspiracies. Jonas, you were like, wait a minute, this line move doesn't make any sense. Maybe somebody knows something.
Yeah, it just seemed odd that the odds would jump that much when we've talked about it all year based on just that one game. And then you find out, well, 10% of the Heisman votes were already put in before this past weekend's games. So if 10% were already put in and Tua Tagovailoa had his worst game of his season, how would the odds change that much unless somebody got a peek at what was in the votes that were already cast early?
In the 10%.
Yeah.
And that made sense at the time. I'm thinking now that it was understanding this AP College Player of the Year was a leading indicator that those votes got out. And it was like, whoa, look at that number of first place votes for Murray. They tell a buddy. Buddy has a friend. It's a pro batter. You know how it happens, telephone style. And you know what reinforces to me that it was the AP that got out? And again, we don't know, right? We're saying allegedly, maybe, is the idea that since the AP vote, the odds haven't changed all that much. It was minus 160, as we said, for Murray. Got up to minus 200. You would think that AP would be like, wow, wow. No, it was like almost like the people who bet the big money already knew about the AP vote. Otherwise, why wouldn't this have gone up more, Fez?
Yeah, because this news should have been like a 300-cent move. It's so significant that Murray, not just that he won, but he won by such margin.
So you're saying minus 160 should have became almost minus 500?
Yes.
I agree. I think the mistake... let's assume there's inside info out there that was out there. I think those not involved, because if you're involved, you got your money down already. You got your bets down. It's everyone else. And I think here's what they're thinking that's not letting it run up more is, boy, Tua, I could have. So Murray was not in the preseason or whatever, but let's say week 5. What was Murray? He was probably in the 4-1 range.
Yeah, 4-1.
Okay. You're thinking, boy, I could have got Murray at 4-1. Now I've got to lay 160, now minus 200. You're thinking, oh, the value's gone. I don't think it's about what it was, the odds on Murray. I think it's about considering the givens, specifically this AP vote. What are the true odds today? that Murray wins, and it feels like it's much more than minus 200, which presupposes about a 66% chance of winning. Fez, what do you think?
Yeah, I agree. And frankly, I made one of my bigger bets of the year before this show. I was laying minus 200 everywhere I could find it. I am confident, given this AP Player of the Year voting, that this line is going to run much further, and rightfully so.
But see, I think you just can somehow confuse the matter. One is you like it in the minus 200 range, and you said you made one of your bigger bets.
Because I think he
That's
wins
enough. I got
80%.
I got it. That's enough. We don't need any more. I question this idea it's going to run up from here. Like, it's your fixation with closing line value. Who cares if it runs up from here? What's the true odds? That's the question. And you think the true odds are closer to 80%. Laying minus 200 with an 80% proposition is a good bet.
Yes.
Okay. To me, the reason I don't think the odds are going to run is, why wouldn't they run now? Who doesn't know? We just let off the show with the news report. Do you think there was any serious college football bettor that doesn't know that Kyler Murray won the AP award?
No.
So why is it going to run tomorrow or the next day?
Because there's a whole lot of serious college basketball bettors and NFL bettors that aren't paying any attention that are going to get to this.
Who isn't looking at their Twitter every time they're at the stoplight?
Well, I tell you what, RJ, I'm willing to bet you that the closing number on this will be above minus 300.
Closing number above minus 300. Well, the fact that you think that it's 80%, and I agree with you, means that I generally believe markets move towards the truth. It just feels like, so I wouldn't want to necessarily take that bet, but I'll tell you this, I'd bet you it doesn't run past minus 300 in the next, let's say by Friday midnight. Friday midnight. All right, $100 bet. $100 bet. So when I say Friday midnight, I mean tonight when it turns. Friday midnight is tonight, right?
Ooh. Ooh, we got it.
What time is it at midnight? What day is it midnight tonight? See, Brad, he's never going to get me. He thought he had something.
Yeah, Friday midnight should be Friday.
Really?
End of the day.
Really? So come midnight, what day is it? Woo! Hey, listen, I just got one thing to say right now. What do you think of that, Jonas?
Well, that's how it's done. Look, if you're gonna go toe to toe with Fezzik, who you know is just gonna dump a bunch of money in it to move the odds up himself, you gotta play dirty pool. That's how it's done. So
I got one thing to say.
Victory!
He looks like someone like kicked his puppy or something, doesn't he?
I'm not so sure. I'm not going to win this bet.
Oh,
tonight
hey.
At midnight.
All right, guys. Good conversation. One last thing, though, and this is one of those you can take it with you in the future. Whenever there's the potential for inside info, and I'm not talking about any games. In general, games are on the up and up. There might be injury information that's inside, but for the most part, games are up and up. But things like who's going to win Survivor, who's going to win this voting. That's why Nevada with votes typically haven't allowed voting betting, because there is the potential. Someone has to count those votes, right, before it's announced. If there's the potential, condition one of inside info, and condition two, the odds seem strange. Like, wow, it seems like both these two should be even, but one's minus 600 and one's plus 500. If you have the potential of inside info and a line that doesn't make sense, odds are the line that doesn't make sense is actually right, because it's a sign somebody knows something you don't. And when Kyler Murray went to minus 160, it didn't make sense. And there is the potential of inside info with voting, and thus the fact it looks like with this AP award that it's Murray's to lose doesn't surprise me. Guys, we did it just today and Jonas a couple days ago. Good job, I think, breaking this story down. And quite frankly, I don't think any other show could have done it this way. Kudos. When we come back, we talked about it. The trends of the week in the NFL.
He's RJ Bell. I'm Jonas Knox. This is the pregame show you always wanted right here on Fox Sports Radio.
Vegas! Be sure to catch live editions of Straight Outta Vegas weekdays at 6 p.m. Eastern, 3 p.m. Pacific on Fox Sports Radio and the iHeartRadio app.
get rewarded with Snapshot from Progressive. It's simple. Plug in Snapshot, drive, and earn discounts for safe driving. Save more at progressive.com or call 1-800-PROGRESSIVE.
I'm RJ Bell. We are Straight Out of Vegas.
And I'm Jonas Knox, the voice of you, the fan. Coming up here in just a couple of moments, we will have our NFL and college football trends of the week.
We bring the fun of Vegas straight to you each weekday. Right now in the Strip, 52 degrees, and the neon is flowing.
RJ, we're going to peel back the curtain. We're going to go behind the scenes here a little bit because in our pre-show meeting, you were very heated over something Colin Cowherd had to say about LeBron James. This was earlier today right here on Fox Sports Radio.
When I hear about the Lakers developing talent, let's develop talent. Really? Did you watch that game last night? LeBron said in the fourth quarter, all right, guys, give me the ball. Scored 14 straight points and an 8-point deficit in the fourth when LeBron was being patient became a Laker win by 8. What am I waiting to develop? You know what the Lakers roster is? It's LeBron and 12 pending transactions.
Yeah, so I so disagree with that. I would say adamant, not heated. A lot of love with Colin and me. A lot of love. But adamant. No sacred cows on Straight Out of Vegas. Why? Because it costs us money if we make a mistake. Here's my thinking. I think that Magic and LeBron are playing this perfectly. And here's what I mean. What is the trade-off to wait? What is the trade-off for LeBron not to put the team on his back every chance he's got? You find out what you got with these young players. And the idea that we know for sure that Ingram is nothing. We know for sure that Ball is nothing. I mean, go up and down the list, Vez. I think there's even a couple more you could say potentially are something. Now, I mean, would it seem crazy that Ingram's the third best player in, let's say, 2 years on a championship team?
Not at all.
Okay. But what we know is playing with LeBron is different than any other way to play in the NBA because he's a one-of-a-kind player. So, yeah, you had some years with Ingram, 1 year with Lonzo, but you didn't know how they were going to play with LeBron. So, to me, to wait now, not make any major trades, or not to have LeBron play Superman every chance that he gets, what's the trade-off? The trade-off is probably, almost certainly, less wins in the regular season. Agreed. But you're finding out what you got. And I don't think the Lakers even now know what they've got. I think they know better than they did to start the season. But how do these players play with LeBron? How do they mature under LeBron's mentoring? And in a few months, trading deadline's there. Now, all of a sudden, what have you gained? You know what you got, which means if you're the Lakers, you know what you got to get by either trade at the trade deadline or next summer. And you have LeBron more rested. We know LeBron doesn't fixate on third seed, fourth seed, second seed. Yeah, he'd rather be the first seed. But if the trade-off, if the only, we know the Lakers are making the playoffs pretty much. So if the only question is home field or home court in a given game, in a seven-game series, one get extra game versus really knowing how good Ingram is, how good Lonzo is, boy, that seems like a trade that I'd much rather have that information and arrested LeBron than another five wins, don't know what you really got. I mean, Fez, thoughts?
Yeah, I agree. And these kids with Kuzma and everybody else, they won 35 games last year. They're not complete bottom of the barrel. I mean, this was a Laker team that even without LeBron could easily have won 38 or 39 games this year.
Which makes the win total with LeBron entering the year
48.
Yeah, I mean, it was the idea LeBron was, and they're on pace for over 50 now.
Yeah, but the West is so loaded right now. It's still going to be
difficult. But it wasn't loaded the whole year?
The bottom tier team.
I'm so sick of the West. I mean, it's like this pace they've created was playing in the West, right? They weren't in the East and somehow went to the West.
But Sacramento and Dallas, these teams we thought were going to be bad are actually decent.
And that's been the case the whole year, right?
Yeah.
So, and they're on pace for what?
Lakers over 48. Above, over 48, yeah.
Okay, my point exactly.
Guys, it is time for our Thursday tradition here on Straight Outta Vegas, and it's called this.
Now, Trends of the Week on Straight Outta Vegas.
All right, Fez, you got a good one. Trends aren't your forte, but you got an NFL one I think the nation needs to hear.
Yes, the Buffalo Bills underperform the week after they play the Miami Dolphins. They are 8-34, Buffalo is, against the spread the week after they play Miami.
All right, so the Bills play the Dolphins, interdivision. It's a rivalry that a lot of people don't realize how strong it is. And then there's a letdown. And the numbers again?
8 wins for the Bills against the spread, 34 losses.
Wowza, wowza. Now, this week, does that make, obviously it pushes you in a certain direction. What is it, does it make you want to bet that Bills game?
Well, I was going to look to bet on the Bills. Now that I see this trend, I want no part of the Bills against the Jets.
And the Bills, for the first time this season, are favored in a game, RJ, against the Jets. I don't want any part of the Bills.
Oh, that's interesting. Brad Powers, I'm RJ Bell, straight out of Vegas. A second NFL one, and this one I've never heard anywhere else, and I love it. It's back in the Saints. Saints are favored by 8 against Tampa Bay. Well, I feel good. Brad and Fez picked up their pens. Now, that's a sign. I like it. A little respect there. If you have a team that's won 6 or more games followed by a loss, so 6 or more games in a row followed by a loss, the next game, they're 55% against the spread. Wait a minute. That's nothing big, RJ. Yeah, exactly. But then I thought about it, and I remember that when teams are undefeated and they lose that first game, they tend to be flat the next game because they put so much energy into this goal and, 8-0, 9-0, you lose and it's like, and then they're flat the next game. So I said, let's take out if you're undefeated with that first loss. So you've lost a game, you win 6 or more, and then you lose another game. Exactly what the Saints have done. In that spot, here's the ATS. 41 winners, 26 losers. 41-26, very strong with a team that didn't lose their undefeated season, that's been really hot, loses a game. They want redemption. They want to get back on that winning ways. I don't love the Saints here, but it makes me not want to bet Tampa. And I was kind of leaning that way. Fez, do you like the logic of the trend?
I do, and I also like the fact that that loss makes the Saints a whole lot less expensive. The look-ahead line in this game was Saints minus 11. Now we only have to lay minus 8.
So the look-ahead line is if you had bet this game a week ago before the Saints lost to the Cowboys, you would have had to lay 11 against the Bucs. Now they lose, they get less expensive, and the irony is they get more motivated. That's all advantage Saints. But I think Tampa's got some advantages, so I'm passing the game.
Guys, we have a college football matchup this Saturday between Army and Navy. Army, a 7-point favorite right now on pregame.com.
Yeah, and the first trend is specific to the total. The last 12 meetings between Army and Navy, the under is a perfect 12-0. Even more impressive than 12-0 to me is the fact that the under is cashed by an average of 15 points per game.
And when it comes to the side?
The side, Navy right now, a 7-point underdog in this one. If you'd played on Navy in the last 16 meetings plus 7 against Army, you'd be 16-0.
So what you're saying is for them to lose against the spread, they have to lose in a historical way in this matchup.
Yeah, Navy has not lost by more than 7 to Army in the last 16 years.
Obviously, the reason the line's there is a better Army team. But still, your basic premise, Brad, and I agree with you, people tend to overreact to what they see. And when you get a line that's historic, there's probably a reason it's in that direction, but they tend to go too far in that direction.
Yeah, and keep in mind, a game of the year line, something you could bet in the summer, had Navy the 7-point favorite here. A 14-point swing between these two teams this year. I don't buy it. That's why I lean with Navy.
Just a lean, though.
Just a lean.
Not betting it.
Not betting it, no.
In just 1 minute, we got Greg Cosell to give us the film take in the NFL.
That's coming up next, but for all the latest from around the world of sports, Dan Beyer.
Guys, this just in from the NFL, ESPN reporting that Chargers offensive coordinator Ken Whisenhunt is withdrawing his name from consideration for the Georgia Tech head coaching vacancy. Tonight we've got football with the Jaguars and Titans, coverage at 7:30 Eastern time. You will see it on Fox. Redskins quarterback Alex Smith's career is in doubt following his broken leg suffered last month in a game against the Texans. WJFK-FM in Washington, D.C. reported that Smith is dealing with infections and has had multiple surgeries to repair that broken leg. Head coach Jay Gruden wouldn't comment to reporters today on the details of the matter after speaking with Smith's wife about his injury. Rookie quarterback Sam Darnold expected to be back under center for the Jets against the Bills in Week 14. He's missed the last three games with a foot injury. And good news for Saints fans, wide receiver Michael Thomas returned to the practice field today. He sat out yesterday because of a sprained ankle. Oklahoma QB Kyler Murray named the AP College Football Player of the Year today, receiving 39 first-place votes. Alabama quarterback Tua Tagovailoa finished second, receiving 13 first-place votes. In the NBA, Brandon Ingram of the Lakers not going to make the team's two-game road trip. He's out because of a sprained ankle. Red Sox today signed pitcher Nathan Eovaldi to a 4-year deal. Twins send second baseman Jonathan Scope to a 1-year contract. Back to you guys.
Thanks, Dan. Straight out of Vegas comes to you live here from the Geico Fox Sports Radio studios, where it's easy to save 15% or more on car insurance with Geico. Go to geico.com or call 800-947-AUTO. The only hard part, figuring out which way is easier. Coming up in 15 minutes from now, we will have a full Vegas-style preview on Thursday Night Football. I'm Jonas Knox, the voice of you, the fan. He is the voice of Vegas, RJ Bell.
We don't have many guests on Straight Out of Vegas. We got an hour every day to give you Vegas. But there's one we have on often, Greg Cosell, NFL Network, for almost 40 years in the game. He looks barely over 40, so I don't understand it, but I'm not going to question it. I know those Hollywood types, they do peels and surgery. Greg, I don't judge you for any of that. I want you to know that.
Well, I started when I was 5, RJ.
Okay. Jacksonville and the Colts last week. Vegas, we're very comfortable with variance. We understand that, you know, you can flip a coin 5 times and get 5 heads or 5 tails. So we don't try to explain every little variation from our expectations. But boy, the Colts came in red hot on offense, shut out. Jags came in seemingly a team that wasn't playing super hard. What did you see on the film in that game?
Well, I had spoken before the game last week that the Jaguars' defense had not looked much at all like the defense of a year ago. And in this game, they did. And that's why this is so hard. That's why the games are so much fun every week and why the league is so unpredictable. Because the Jaguars do have good players. And they had not played particularly well. They had made a lot of mental mistakes, assignment busts. And that had really hurt them over the course of that 7-game losing streak. In this particular game, they played really well, particularly their defensive front. And their defense, RJ, is built on their defensive front. They're not a high-percentage blitz team. When their front dominates, as it did so often a year ago, it sets up the rest of their defense. And when you have a front like that and two corners in Ramsey and Boye who can cover, and they don't play a ton of man, pure man, but they can cover on the perimeter, then you've got the makings of a really good defense, and that's the way they played in this game.
Now, I've heard a theory that makes sense to me, but I'm going to make it more abstract because I know you don't like to critique individual players in any negative way beyond what's obvious
Beyond what the film shows, RJ. That's
exactly
the way I do it. Yeah.
And I think that's a classy way to do it. So let's say generally, do you think the idea of a quarterback potentially being benched that had fallen short of expectations, that was making a lot of money, and we all know there's a finite amount of money in a hard cap, if he's getting it, another player isn't, that the idea of, hey, we don't think this backup quarterback's necessarily better, but we're going to be energized because this guy we don't particularly like isn't playing anymore. Do you think that conceptually you ever see things like that?
Well, you're talking about the Jaguars, I take it.
Yeah, I'm talking abstractly. Don't try to bait me in. Don't try to...
Well, my sense is, since we were just talking about the Jaguars, you know, ultimately a team, good teams, and the Jaguars were certainly that a year ago and thought they would be that this year, have a defined identity and defined profile as to how they play. The Jaguars have made no bones about the fact that the quarterback is clearly a complementary piece and that the offense is built on the run game, which has not been up to par this year because Fournette's been out, and built on a run game and defense. And as we discussed, the defense wasn't good enough. So the reason I would imagine they made the change is because they knew what Blake Bortles is and was. There was no mystery there, but he was turning the ball over, and that was the problem. So even though Cody Kessler is not going to give you much in the pass game, they don't expect that, RJ. They just don't want him to turn the ball over.
We're talking with Greg Kosow. He is executive producer and analyst for NFL Matchup on ESPN. It's on my TiVo every week. Pittsburgh Steelers, I'm a fan. I grew up an hour from Pittsburgh. Colin Cowherd, a mutual friend of ours, he's always talking about Tomlin's teams are not buttoned up, to use his phrase. When you look at the tape on Pittsburgh, not just last week, but right, let's say this season, what are the things Pittsburgh does, let's say, not as well when it comes to meticulousness, attention to detail, compared to, let's say, a Patriots team?
Well, now, again, now you're getting into that we have access to the results of the last 2 weeks. Prior to the last 2 weeks, my sense is people thought that the Steelers were a true AFC championship game contender, potentially a Super Bowl contender. I think they're a team that relies very heavily on the pass game. Over the last 4 or 5 weeks, they'd gotten away from running the ball. They had a nice stretch there where James Conner was averaging 20-plus carries per game and running well with nice balance to their offense. They had gotten away from that. Roethlisberger has thrown some poor interceptions. He threw one last week just outside the red zone to Derwin James on a bad throw where he fell away from the throw. He missed a wide-open Justin Hunter for a touchdown in the first half. You can always, once you have access to the results, RJ, put the narrative any way you want it. But the individual plays that should be made, that aren't made for any number of reasons, that's what the tape shows. The narrative comes after the fact.
No, I agree. And we try to avoid that. I do think even when Pittsburgh, and this is just my opinion, was winning, the sense was talent was overcoming maybe some, you know, lack of attention to detail.
Well, but again, the only thing I would say to that is we don't know that because we're not there every day. So
true.
We don't know what's coached. We don't know what they're asking the players to do. So, you know, keep one thing in mind. Players are always coached. Obviously, as in any profession, some coaches are better than others, but players are coached. There's a big difference between coaching during the week and in the meeting room and then players executing on the field.
Agreed. Greg Kosow on Twitter, at Greg Kosow. Last question. I'm always curious about in-season coaching changes. I personally think that if a team is out of it anyway, then okay, it kind of makes sense. Hey, let's see. Maybe there's a guy on staff you think could be it, so give him a dress rehearsal. But I look at Carolina Panthers, and this is a team still in the playoff race.
Yep.
Firing multiple defensive line coaches. Mike Lombardi, a friend of the show, said he doesn't, or multiple defensive coaches. One was a D-line coach. He said he doesn't remember ever seeing a D-line coach fired in the middle of the year like this. Do you think that this is a sign? Or I don't want to say it like that. Let me ask you this question. Does that make you less or more optimistic about the Panthers this week, the fact they made these moves?
Well, let's put it this way. You would hope a move like that is not made as a knee-jerk reaction to one given game. And by the way, their defensive line did not play poorly this week. This week's loss was not a function of their defense. So if you're going to make a move like that, again, not being there, you would hope that this was maybe something that had been thought about and then carefully calculated and not done as a knee-jerk reaction. The problem is too many of these are done that way, and sometimes, again, there's no right or wrong answer to this. I don't think it ever looks good, you know, just from an optics standpoint, but you know, they obviously felt it was the right move to make at this time, just as the Packers did with Mike McCarthy. You know, you can debate these things, and there's really no right or wrong answer, but that's why we all have jobs and, you know, to talk about it.
That's true. And listen, if you want the deep knowledge, Greg Cosell, in my opinion, one of the true answers in the NFL, ESPN, and NFL Films. Thank you, Greg.
Appreciate it, RJ. Thank you.
When we come back, we've got the Thursday night Vegas preview.
He's RJ Bell. I'm Jonas Knox, and this is the pregame show you always wanted, and it's money-making time next here on Fox Sports Radio.
Straight out of Vegas!
Be sure to catch live editions of Straight Out of Vegas weekdays at 6 p.m. Eastern, 3 p.m. Pacific.
I'm RJ Bell. We are Straight Out of Vegas.
And I'm Jonas Knox, the voice of you, the fan. Coming up here in just a couple of minutes, we've got a full Thursday night football preview, Vegas style.
So, Brad, we had some fun on Thursdays this season. The Moneyline Parlay, how could it lose, wink, wink, in college football? And the rationale was people love, oh, no way Ohio State loses to Purdue. No way, et cetera, et cetera. And you put together 4 to 5 big favorites a week. And the winners, if they all won just the game outright, you would cash. You went 4-4. But the beauty is everyone.
5-5.
5-5. The beauty is everyone was plus money.
Mm-hmm.
So you made a profit. Now, I wanted to make you do a bowl one, like a whole bowl season. But then we thought about it. One of the basic premises of bowl betting is it's high variance. What does it mean? It means in the regular season, teams come and play generally hard, and flat spots are kind of flat maybe, but not a ton. You see so much range of effort in the bowls, and you don't know for sure. Sometimes a team you think is going to play hard just lays an egg and loses by 40-some. You actually have some data from last season on how much variance there was in the bowl games.
So the favorites that covered last year covered by an average of 13 points per game.
Beyond the amount they're favored by.
And the underdogs, 19 of them covered last year. 16 of those 19, forget the point spread, 16 actually won the game outright.
So that's variance, right? So what you want to do is if you like the dog, bet the money line. Mm-hmm. If you like the favorite, don't even consider the money line, because if they win the game, they cover the spread much more than the regular season. So we're going to do something different. Next week, next Thursday, you're going to pick 3, 4, or 5 underdogs. You're going to tell us then. And if just one of them win, the listeners are going to make a profit. All right? So we're flipping the script, as the kids say. And that's next Thursday. I'm excited.
Straight Out of Vegas brought to you by Geico, where 15 minutes could save you 15% or more on car insurance. Guys, TNT's NBA doubleheader tips off a little over an hour from now, and we start with the Knicks and the Celtics. Boston, a 13.5-point favorite at home.
Fez, we were on Boston's slow start. The theory was integrating in Hayward, integrating in, quite frankly, Irving, you know, with the players that got so much time once Irving got hurt. And obviously Boston started slow. They're surging, and the logic, I think, that the team integrating themselves and being more comfortable is coming to pass.
Yeah, and Gordon Hayward in particular has played so much better. He's only averaging 42% field goals for the year. He's had two really nice games. He's coming off the bench, and I think that that is a better spot for him for the Celtics.
And if you actually look at the totals in those 6 games, 5 overs, 1 under, so it's helping with the scoring and with the Celtics covering spreads.
After the Knicks and the Celtics, it's the Rockets at the Jazz. Utah, a 1-point favorite at home.
You know, some players are valuable more than you might think. Some are less. And once a player misses some games, you can get an idea how they do. Chris Paul out.
5 games, and they have not won the Houston Rockets, any of them without him, losing by an average margin of 9 points.
So if we would say how much is Chris Paul worth, My gut feeling is what, 3.5 points? What we would have answered?
Now I'm answering 5.
Yeah, so if it, now again, a small sample doesn't mean he's worth as much as this, but I think it's fair to say what we've seen from this Houston team this year, Chris Paul is more valuable than Vegas thought entering the season.
Week 14 in the NFL kicks off tonight, 8:20 Eastern time on Fox. It is the Jaguars at the Titans, Tennessee, a 5.5-point favorite.
Well, listen, Jonas, whenever anyone said, does gambling really help NFL viewership? Well, tonight is evidence.
Exhibit A,
exactly. But it is Exhibit A. We're interested. Fez, we were talking with Greg Cosell. You had a brilliant point. I felt like the hate, or the, let's just say the dislike of Bortles was such, and I think some of it's money. That money he's getting paid, these great defensive players aren't getting that money because it's a hard cap, is the idea that I don't think Kessler's the better quarterback. I think he's the lesser quarterback. 14 games he's taken a snap in the NFL, 1-13 straight up his team's Kessler in those games. So what we saw, though, was Jacksonville D play so hard, almost in response to Bortles getting benched.
No question. An all-in effort from the entire team, especially the defense, where they held a team that had been averaging 27 points, that had scored 27 or more points the last 6 weeks, the Colts, to 0 points.
Yeah, it was and again, it's one thing to shut out any NFL team. Jacksonville shut out a red-hot Colts offense. So as much as I respect the Titans and really respect their coach, I can't really bet them here, but I can't bet the Jags. Here's the trend that tells you that. Away dogs on Thursday are 5-22 against the spread. So I'm passing. If I had to put a little money on this game, I'd have a pizza bet on the under. Pizza bet on the under.
The Odd Couple is next here on Fox Sports Radio. If you missed any of today's show, including a controversial bet between RJ and Fezzik over the Heisman Trophy, find it at foxsportsradio.com. We are straight out of Vegas. Back tomorrow, 6 Eastern time, here on Fox Sports Radio.
Straight out of Vegas!
Fox Sports Radio has the best sports talk lineup in the nation. Catch all of our shows at foxsportsradio.com. And within the iHeartRadio app, search FSR to listen live.